I'm a masterpiece. I'm a beautiful creation. I'm a beautiful work of God. You know, I was real intentional with the song of musical reflection that we use today to illustrate this concept of self-acceptance. Because oftentimes, we as Christians and even other faith communities as a whole, we're not taught how to accept yourself. And oftentimes we get like our empowerment music from the secular world.
Yeah.
And so I was like, what better way to kind of illustrate this lack that we've been guilty of, not this movement, but in some of the places that we've come from, because we've talked so much about loving others and loving God, but we leave out loving ourselves. And so this isn't necessarily a new year, new me kind of message. It is a new year, but it's a new attitude, new thought process, kind of thing that I want us to get into. And so I got here by looking at our What We Believe statement. And we recite it every Sunday. And, you know, it almost becomes automatic or routine when we get to it. I mean, you know, if I'm being honest with myself, you know, we get down to the bottom and we tired. We ain't even really reading the words no more. We just calling them. That's how my mom used to say, you just calling words. You're not even reading it no more. But that's what we do because, you know, it has gotten repetitive. But I was like, it's interesting that we get down to this section here where it says a person's belief system. And the first tenet of what this belief system is that it must be supportive of healthy self-acceptance. That's the first thing. That's the first thing that our Archbishop Carl Bean put down in this section. A person's belief system must be supportive of healthy self-acceptance. And I was like, wow. I was like, wow. Because we're not always doing that. We haven't been taught to do that. And sometimes, you know, we miss the mark with talking about it right here on taking care of yourself. I know I've heard pastors say several times, God's self and then others. But how often do we apply that? You know, and so I got into it and I was looking at this song by Jasmine Sullivan, and I was like, I felt that self-acceptance through this song, because she said, every part of me is a vision of a portrait. And she used Mona Lisa, but that may not be your portrait.
Okay.
You know, hey, you know, I know for me, there was one, we were at the art museum, the Moorish chief. I love that picture. I was like, oh, you know, you're so regal and strong looking and kind of mysterious. And I was like, that's it right there. So you may not need the Mona Lisa. You may have another favorite painting or any piece of art that you see yourself as a vision. Every part of me is beautiful. And I finally see I'm a work of art, a masterpiece.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
You know, it really set with me. You know, the song settled in with me. And it was, you know, we're seeing all the pretty colors on the canvas. And you're ready to share your picture with the world. You're not afraid to let it show anymore. And so I said, you know what? That's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about healthy self-acceptance today. And so when we hear these some of these selfisms, the way that we were taught up, we were brought up in you know, old church things that we heard, our mind goes straight to things like self-absorption and being selfish. And we automatically go to this negative space, and it steers us away from truly learning to love and accept ourselves. You know, in some of these places, you know, we're giving all the scriptural warnings under the sun to not go down this path and don't have this attitude. But there's never a reference to loving yourself. And it feels strange in the beginning. It still feels strange. It feels strange for me sometimes still to be like, no, I need to accept this. I need to love this about me because I'm a beautiful masterpiece.
Come on now.
You know, so but it can be done to get past these negative thoughts and feelings about self-acceptance and the negative images about selfisms that we've heard in church. You can love and accept yourself without becoming self-focused and absorbed in yourself and wrapped in yourself. There's a couple of examples in there. One of them, Philippians 2:4 says, let each of you look not only to his or her own interest, but also to the interest of others. And I said, key words that stuck out to me, let each of you not only, meaning there's other ways, there's other things that we should be considering here, not only look to your own interest, but also, in addition to, the interest of others. And so we have to recognize that in order to do this work that we said we're going to do, we can't pour from an empty cup. You have to pour back into yourself in order to pour into others. We don't have to go through life self-sacrificing and, you know, putting everything out there to the point of becoming a martyr. To honor God. That's not what God wants. That's not what God wants for us. God wants us to see ourselves the way that God sees us. And so I was like, wow, okay, don't pour from an empty cup. I can't love on you if I haven't at least started to love on me some. You know how I look, trying to love on somebody, but I'm damaging myself along the way. Because then the love that we try to give out, then it's like, well, is that really authentic? How long is this going to last? Are we just going to sit there? You half giving, or it's going to be perceived as you half giving, and you just wait for the shoe to drop. But if you pour into yourself love and acceptance, peace, then you can pour the same things into others. And so I looked at this thing, and I went back, and I was like, okay, person's belief system, okay. It must be supportive of healthy self-acceptance. What does that mean? Because oftentimes we get all of the selfisms kind of muddled up and we say they're all the same thing, but they're not. Self-esteem, self-acceptance, two different things. Two completely different things. And I had to laugh. I was listening. I did briefly listen to Cat Williams and his little skit talking about self-esteem being your esteem of self. It was funny, but it made sense. It is your esteem of self, the value and the worthwhileness that you put on yourself is what self-esteem is. But that's not how it's worded in our What We Believe statement. We have healthy self-acceptance, which is a more of a global affirmation of yourself. Okay. You know, it's not all just the pretty parts, the esteemable things like, I'm wonderful in this area, but we're not going to talk about this other stuff over here. We're going to leave that in the dark and we're just going to leave it alone and we're not going to address it at all. That's not healthy self-acceptance. Healthy self-acceptance is taking all parts of yourself. An unconditional acceptance that is free of any type of qualification. I've heard it that, I believe it's a Buddhist principle. They call it radical acceptance. And I've heard it through the therapy avenues as well, radical acceptance, you know, it is what it is. And that one was easy for me to accept, but it's also a place that you can easily get stuck. It is what it is, or radical acceptance is a stepping stone. Because we can accept it, you know, whatever the situation is in this moment, we can say it is what it is. But then what you gonna do about it? That's the next thing. So to clarify in that difference between self-acceptance and self-esteem and all the other self-isms that we hear, note the differences between each one. So when we're looking at this thing, healthy self-acceptance begins with an accurate view of who you are. You know, who are you? We hear it in all these movies, Lion King, remember who you are. You know, that's what Simba said in the cloud. Remember. You know, Black Panther, tell them who you are. You know. But to get to that place of healthy self-acceptance, it begins with that view, an accurate view of who you are. And that's why I took us back to Genesis today. Okay. Sometimes we got to go back to the beginning. Yes, go back to the start of it all. And Genesis tells us that we are created in the image and the likeness of God. The image and the likeness of God. And so I got this image, and I was like, yes, God sitting there at the easel for each and every one of us, painting our portrait.
Yes, yes.
God's there just painting the portrait, just like this. And every single brushstroke, every single color that was used, every texture is intentional.
Yes.
It's intentional. It was with purpose. And as an artist, God painted the parts of us that reflect God's divine nature. He put all that into our portrait. Painted it. The brush strokes is there. And then God stepped back. When he got done, said, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Ooh. You see how I swooped that thing like that? Look at that. It's good. And I'm especially fond of that one. And he takes it off the easel and puts it on the wall. And goes to the next one, creating each and every one of us. You're a masterpiece without flaw. So when we're looking at this healthy self-acceptance, and going back to the beginning and finding that accurate view of who you are, wake up like Beyonce and say, I'm flawless.
Yes.
I woke up like this, you know, flawless. But really though, and it's really interesting, I was reading a book recently. It was by a Nigerian author. She's writing these wonderful fantasy stories that are set in Nigeria. And I was like, oh, you know, it's amazing to see yourself represented in literature. You know, because you have stories that you can relate to now. You have characters and be like, oh, I'm like this person. You know, I love Harry Potter, but this one right here is like a Nigerian Harry Potter story. It's wonderful. But what's interesting there is to read stories of other people of color, is that there's certain spiritual even elements that are kind of weaved into the stories that other people of color will relate to. And so in this story, they have magical people, they're called leopard people, and then you have non-magical folks that are called lambs. And in a part of the story, they were talking about things that are perceived as flaws in the lamb world, the non-magical world. Okay. Things that are perceived as flaws are actually your special abilities in the magical side of things, in the leopard world. And I was like, that's amazing. It's a beautiful thing to look at things that the world tells you are flaws about yourself, things that are wrong with you, are your strength when you take it out of this natural world that you're in and you move into a spiritual place. And I was like, oh my gosh, look at this thing. You know, so I used to think that I was stubborn and strong-willed. I mean, I still am, you know, in this natural world. In this natural world on this side over here, I am strong-willed and extremely stubborn. But, you know, if I step over here to this other side and look at these things that are flaws maybe and flip it, and I was like, no, I'm strong-minded.
Yes.
When I make a decision, I'm firm in that decision and I cannot be swayed at all. It's not a flaw. I'm flawless. You may not know how to handle my flawlessness, but I am flawless nonetheless because I needed that. The master painter painted that on my portrait and said, this is you and you are beautiful and I made you and now I'm going to hang you on my wall and you will be my prize. I will say I'm especially fond of that one right there. Look at that.
Yes.
And I thought that was a beautiful way to illustrate that concept that Amen. We are not flawless. We are not flawed. We are not flawed because we were made that way. We're beautiful masterpieces. And so when we look at this kind of thing, because we learn to turn down our self-acceptance over the course of life. You know, we listen too much to everybody on the outside talking about you this, you that, and you ain't blah, 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 blah. And then we start to affirm those things in us. You have to be careful of what you affirm to yourself. And I know we talked about this a little bit last year at some point. We were talking about affirmations. And it's not enough to just say, these are affirmations. We have to distinguish if it's a positive affirmation or a negative affirmation.
Yes.
Because when we go back to the beginning, we see right there that God painted a bit of God's divine self within you, which means that you have divine authority over this earth, this realm that we're in right now, to manifest things into your life. Be careful what you affirm to yourself.
Yes.
It's in there. It's in the book. I don't know where, but it says the power of life and death is in the tongue. Be careful what you say to yourself. The things that you go on to believe about yourself. Because then, that I would almost say is a flaw. When you start to speak those negative affirmations to you and they manifest, then that wasn't designed to be that way. That wasn't what was on your picture. It was like, you know, maybe picture got left out in the rain a little bit, but it's got to be retouched with positive affirmations. They got whole professionals that do that. Be your own professional.
All right.
Touch your own painting up. Mm-hmm. You got the authority to do it.
All right.
Said so right there.
There you go, man.
Just saying. I'm just saying.
There you go.
And so we'll get right here to our actual scripture here. Because I was looking at this thing, and this is coming from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 18. And it says, whenever anyone turns to the Lord and the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into its image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
And so I was reading in this thing, and we go a little bit above and a little bit below in there. This section right here, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul is writing to the congregation at Corinth. And he's going in there, and he's talking about the new covenant. The new covenant, the passing away of the old way, an old teaching, old church, old everything. And then moving more towards the freedom that you get through the power of the Holy Spirit in Christ. And I was like, wow. And I'm going to read it a little bit from the Message right here, because, you know, that's why I say the turned up version. It's turned up. It makes it real, real plain. And a little before in the chapter, it talks about this self-acceptance thing. Chapter 3, verse 1 from the Message says, "Does it sound like we're putting ourselves on the back, patting ourselves on the back, insisting on our credentials, asserting our authority? We're not. Neither do we need letters of endorsement, either to you or from you. I don't need you to tell me about me. I'm confident in myself. You yourselves are all the endorsement you need. Your very lives are a letter that everyone can read by just looking at you." And I was like, wow. Really? Really? I don't need nobody to speak for me. I don't need anybody to dictate to me and tell me that I'm okay. I can tell myself. I can learn to accept myself. And so when we're moving through this, I challenge you there, this new year, new covenant. Paul is talking about the covenant between, you know, passing away the old laws and things like that, and then, you know, talking about the new covenant, finding salvation through Christ and the Holy Spirit. But I challenge you to make it personal. Honor the new covenant within yourself and put away the old things. I was like, I almost lost everything. It said right here, if the government of condemnation, the old ways, old laws, old teaching was impressive, how about this government of affirmation?
Come on now.
Bright as that old government was, it would look downright dull alongside this new one. If that makeshift arrangement impressed us, how much more this brightly shining government installed for eternity? And I was like, what? You know, with that kind of new hope, this is going on, this is verses 12. It said, with that kind of hope to excite us, nothing holds us back. Unlike Moses, we have nothing to hide. It's mask off. Take your mask off. Mask off. Show your whole self. Everything is out in the open with us. He wore a veil so the children of Israel wouldn't notice that the glory was fading away. And they didn't notice. They didn't notice it then, and they don't notice it now. Don't notice that there's nothing left behind the veil. There's nothing there to hide. When you get alone in a room, I was listening to Sister Yolanda Adams, and I was like, open up your heart. When you get alone in a room, you and God, you take the mask off, you take off the veil, it's nothing to hide. Stop hiding from yourself. You got to let go of all of the guilt, any shame that you have, any regrets, any expectations that you're trying to meet because somebody else said that you should be this, that, and the other to be worthwhile. That's not it. Mask off. Mask off. And it says, whenever, though, they turn to face God as Moses did, God removes the veil, and there they are, face to face. They suddenly recognize that God is a living, personal presence, not a piece of chiseled stone. God is accessible. God is living. You can talk to God, and God will talk back to you. God will sit there and be like, look, I made you. Why is you worried about everything else out there? I made you. That's how I painted you. That's what you're supposed to do. And when God is personally present, a living spirit, that old constricting legislation is recognized as obsolete. All that old stuff that you're telling yourself, all these expectations saying that I got to pour everything out of me just to honor God, is obsolete. We don't do that no more. There's a new covenant. Honor the new covenant within yourself. We are free of it, all of us. Nothing between us and God. Our faces shining with the brightness of his glory. And so we are transformed, much like the Messiah, our very lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become more like him or her or it.
Yes.
This positive self-acceptance thing, this healthy self-acceptance thing, it's about a balance. We got to be real with ourselves.
Yes.
When we're alone in a room with God, alone in a room, it's just me and you. You don't have to be afraid of disappointing God. You can't, because there's no flaw there. You got to learn how to transform. Step onto the other side and be like, no, how can I use this to my strength?
Yeah.
How can I make it new? How can I, as I go into this new year, start to honor this new covenant within myself? How do I get transformed so that the glory of God can shine through me? Because it's not about getting self-absorbed or being selfish or anything like that. When we are positively and healthily, I'm gonna make that a word, accepting of ourselves, it doesn't mean it's the me show. It means that I accept everything there is about me and I love it because God loves it. And then there's nothing left to worry about. Now I am free to do the work. And so, as I take my seat, I'm going to read the full version, actually, of our thought of the week. And I was like, this Brennan Manning, he was on some stuff. And I was like, what? It was so good. It was so moving for me. But it was also very long, and I didn't want to take up all the bulletin space. But the full quote says, when we accept ourselves for what we are, we decrease our hunger for power or the acceptance of others because our self-intimacy reinforces our inner sense of security. We're not power hungry. We're not trying to jump all over everybody and be like, oh, this person got this. Well, I need this and all of that. We clear all of that out the way. Our inner sense of security. I'm safe. I'm good. I'm stable. It goes on to say, we are no longer preoccupied with being powerful or popular. I'm not trying to impress nobody. Either you love me or you don't. Take me for what I am. I am that I am. We've heard that before.
Yeah.
I am that I am. Speak power into yourselves. We no longer fear criticism because we accept the reality of our human limitations. We are godlike. We are divine. But we also have human limitations. Once integrated, we are less often plagued with the desire to please others because simply being true to ourselves brings lasting peace. I'm not worried about no hater. No hateration. Toleration in the dancery. No, we're not doing that. It says, we are grateful for life and we deeply appreciate and love ourselves. That is healthy self-acceptance.
Hallelujah.
That's the path. Let go of the old stuff and honor the new covenant. Make it personal. Get alone in that room. You and God. Be like, God, all right, I see your covenant. I'm going to honor that within myself. You're a beautiful masterpiece. Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.